how many of us, we're too busy cutting down trees. We're too busy serving the Lord. We're too busy working for the Lord. We're too busy on our jobs. We're too busy with the things that matter the least. We're too busy with those things, and we go out and we're defeated and we're discouraged day after day because we're not taking time to sharpen our axe.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with the message titled, A Quiet Time That Makes It Worth Being Quiet. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of A Quiet Time That Makes It Worth Being Quiet.
All right, this morning, I want to share with you a message. We have been kind of in between a couple series. I'm contemplating where to go next for the summer. But I wanted to share a message today that deals with a quiet time. And that many of God's people do have a quiet time. So you may be here today and you say, Pastor Glaze, I have a quiet time, so I'm just going to tune out on the message this morning. Well, I would hope that you wouldn't, because I'm going to share with you some things that may enhance your quiet time. And then if you're not having a quiet time, then we pray that you might be stirred to spend that time with the Lord. And as always, if you have your quiet time together, maybe you can take this message and share it with somebody else, as we talked about yesterday, shining your light. Take what you have and shine it with somebody else. Help them get started in their devotional time. So this morning I want to speak to you about a quiet time that makes it worth being quiet. But, we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 6 this morning, if you would turn there in your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 6. A quiet time that makes it worth being quiet. And Isaiah says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord host. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him who cried, and in the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tong from off the altar. And he opened, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I. Send me. Charlie Brown and the team was about to win the game. They just had one more out to get. And the batter that was up popped up a fly ball to Lucy, who was playing in the outfield. Lucy just was staring off into space and let the ball fall right in front of her. Charlie Brown ran out there and began to fuss and ask her what she was doing, that because she didn't catch the ball, all she had to do was catch the ball and they would have won the game. But because she didn't, the runner scored and they lost the game. And she said, Charlie Brown said, What are you doing? What are you doing out here? And Lucy said, Stop bothering me. I'm having my quiet time. And you know, that's the way that it is, that, you know, when we have our quiet time, you know, we ought to shut down the things around us. When we have our quiet times, nothing should impede on those times. In our quiet times, we need to realize that it's all about making a connection with God, that we would be personal and that we would be intimate with God, that when we get up or when we walk away from our quiet time, we ought to be able to look back and say that I made a connection with the God of the universe. I think of Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. If you would look there with me real quick. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11.
It says in verse 11, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." Now, I've dealt with this whole idea about the face of God and seeing God, so I'm not going to take the time to do it today. But the thing that I want to point out is that it says that he spoke to God and that God spoke to him and that they were face to face, and that term face to face means to be in the presence of somebody else. And so that Moses was in the presence of God. Do you sense the presence of God during your quiet times? Or do you just kind of go through a ritual where you read a scripture and you offer some prayers and it seems like your prayers just hit the ceiling and bounce back down? Man, I tell you what, when I read this verse in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11, you know, my heart yearns for that. My heart yearns to connect with God. I used to do a revival out in New Mexico every year at a tent meeting. And the folks would, we would start about 6 o'clock in the evening. And many times it was 2 o'clock in the morning before we would finish. And I remember one of the things that the pastor would always say, and you know what? There were little kids there and there were adults and nobody left. And they, you know, they didn't sit around watching their watch. And the pastor would always stand up there and say, "It's time to connect with God." And we connected with God into the wee hours of the morning. And it was just such a powerful time. And that's what God desires from us. That's what God wants during our quiet time. Because it's during our quiet time where we get strength. It's during our quiet time where we get power. The scripture says, "In quiet and meekness shall be your strength." That you're not going to get strength out here making a bunch of noise, but in quietness before the Lord is where your strength is going to come in. There's a powerful verse in the book of Ecclesiastes. If you would turn there with me, Ecclesiastes chapter 10. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10, Solomon says, "If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put forth more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct." What is he saying here? He's saying that when your iron or when your axe head is dull, that you have to put forth more energy. But when you sharpen it, it's wise to sharpen your axe. It's wise to spend time with the Lord so that you can be a sharp vessel for the Lord. The story is told of a young lumberjack who was just breaking into the trade, and he was younger than a lot of the guys there, and he had a lot more strength. And he was just going through trees left and right, chopping them down. And as time went on, his productivity went down. And eventually, he was let go because he wasn't producing as much as the other lumberjacks. He went to a veteran lumberjack and began to ask him. He said that I was working just as hard as I was from the beginning. He said, but I wasn't cutting down as many trees as I was when I started out. And the wise old lumberjack said, "Did you ever take time to sharpen your edge?" And he said, "No, I was too busy cutting down trees." And how many of us, we're too busy cutting down trees? We're too busy serving the Lord. We're too busy working for the Lord. We're too busy on our jobs. We're too busy with the things that matter the least. We're too busy with those things, and we go out and we're defeated and we're discouraged day after day because we're not taking time to sharpen our axe. It's a sad testimony, not only to the church, but to the Christian who goes out and is constantly defeated. And I'm convinced that the reason that many are walking in constant defeat and discouragement is because they're not taking time to sharpen their axe. If you would take the time to sharpen your axe, you would find that your day would go a lot smoother. Oh, I'm not saying that you're not going to have problems, because probably when you sharpen your axe, you're going to have more problems. But you'll be able to cut those problems and deal with them a lot better when your axe is sharp. I don't know why it is, but when I rush into my day, it seems like I end up at some point in time dealing with frustration. That when I rush into my day, I end up at some point in time coming up against a wall. But when I spend that time with the Lord, I don't care what it is that I have to face, what it is I have to do. As somebody said, I'm ready to charge hell with a water pistol because you're fired up. You know that the Lord is with you. You know that God is going to be with you. And when you have that assurance that you've been spent time in his presence, when you have that assurance that you've been with God, then you can go forth in boldness. You can go forth in power. The scripture says that the apostles, that they went forth and they turned Jerusalem upside down. And somebody made a note. Hey, these guys been with Jesus. They've been with the master. They've been with the Savior. And so we need to spend this time with God. Let me share with you a couple things that will enhance your time with the Lord. What will enhance your quiet time? Now, lest we become legalistic, all right, and I'm not saying that you have to have these things. So some of you might not need them. So, you know, go on, as I say, go ahead with your bad self. You know, you got your own way of doing things. You know how to spend that time with the Lord. So I'm trying to help somebody out here that maybe is struggling with the quiet time. Or maybe you need to buy this CD and share it with somebody that's not having a quiet time. You know somebody that's not having a quiet time. You can share this with them and it'll help them deal with their quiet time. But as you spend that time in the presence of the Lord, here are some things that will help you. First of all, a Bible. And we all have different variations and forms of Bible. Some of us, you know, have the traditional hardback, paper book, whatever the case might be, Bible. But then some people have it on their iPad. Some people have it on their iPhone. It don't make any difference where you have it at. But during your quiet time, it will enhance that time if you have a Bible. Me, personally, I have a notebook because I know that God, you know, it's amazing the number of things that God tells me during my quiet time. It's just unbelievable the things that he tells me during my quiet time. But you know what? If I don't write them down, 5 minutes later, I forgot what he said. And if God laid something on my heart that was that important, if God spoke something that important to my heart, then I ought to, if I don't have the best memory in the world, then I ought to jot it down so I can remember what God said to me. A prayer journal. Something to record your prayers in. One of the most powerful forms of prayer is journaling. I know that when I'm writing my prayers down, it seems like they, you know, and sometimes, you know, people might say, well, I have a hard time writing. But when you journal to the Lord, it just seems like it flows. That it comes out of a spirit that's birthed in a desire to come before the Lord and to call upon him. So I would say have a prayer journal, and your notebook and your prayer journal can be the same thing. A pen, you know, that's obvious. Or, you know, if again, people do stuff on their computer, so maybe you don't need a pen. We're going to talk about a time, a place, a songbook. You know, one of the things that I have right beside me is my iPad, because I have a lot of praise and worship songs on my iPad. And sometimes it comes to my time of praise. And I might read a praise in the scripture, Psalm 150, Psalm 148. And then there are other times that I'll just go and put a praise song on. And that during my prayer time, I'll just sit back and whatever the choir or whatever the individual is singing, I'll just say, Lord, I agree with that. Lord, that's where my heart is right now. And I will worship God as I listen to that song. And then you might have a song of thanksgiving. You might have a song of confession. Whatever it is that you have, something that will aid and assist you in your prayer time. A songbook. And something that is essential, something that is very important, is that you have an expectant spirit. That you've got to come to God expecting. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God. That word in the Greek, there are two words for poor. One is the word panes, and that means, you know, somebody that might have a difficult time making ends meet. You know, they're not on the street. They're living in a house. They got clothes. They got food. They're just having a difficult time making ends meet. And then there's the word potokos. And that refers to that beggar in Luke chapter 16 who was so poor that somebody had to bring him and literally put him down at the gate of the rich man. And he had to fight for the crumbs that the dogs were after. Jesus didn't say, blessed are the panace in spirit. He said, blessed are the potokos. Blessed are those who are abject beggars. Blessed are those who don't have two pennies to rub together. Blessed are those that are empty and come to the Lord and say, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. That you got to come with that expectant spirit. Lord, if you don't speak, I will leave here disappointed today. Lord, if I don't connect with you on some level, I will leave here feeling empty today. Oh, when you come with that expectant spirit, I find that every time God will not disappoint you, that the Lord will open up the windows of heaven and he will allow the messages from the scripture. He will allow, you know, when you have an expectant spirit, you can get a blessing out of the book of Deuteronomy. And so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so. God will bless you in the begots if you have an expectant spirit. And so these are some things that will enhance your quiet time. Back in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, we see, first of all, that this quiet time is a time of spiritual participation, a time of spiritual participation. In chapter 6 and verse 1, Isaiah records these words. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. When the prophet was raptured into the presence of God, now there's some debate as to whether it was literally or whether it was in a vision. You know, I'm not here to argue that point this morning. All I'm here to say is that he had a connection with God, that he made contact with God. And as this powerful connection took place, Isaiah, what did he do? He participated by submitting to the divine presence of God. And what did God do? God participated through a powerful revelation of himself. See, I'm talking about, you know why a lot of people don't want to spend time with God? They would rather do other things. They would rather rush out and not spend this time, because this is not what, you're not getting this right here. You're not submitting to the divine presence of God. And then you're not seeing the powerful revelation of God. In the book of James, we don't have to turn there. Maybe you could put it up on the screen. James 4:8. And as we think about this scripture right here, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That if you draw close to God, the promise is that he will draw close to you. The spiritual participation that once God shows up, then you got to move close to him. You got to draw close to God. There's no intention on your part, if there's no desire on your part, then the chances are that God is not going to show up. Let me share with you a couple powerful things that I saw in the life of Christ. These are some powerful things. The first thing that I want, and I'm going to come back to this spiritual participation. I'm coming back to that. But Jesus not only practiced this, but he preached it. First of all, we see that he practiced it. The spiritual participation, right? In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. He connected with God. What was his habit? He made it a priority. He made it a priority. You won't participate with God unless you make it a priority. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he had a place, a solitary place, a place where he could go, a place where he could meet Jesus said, go in the closet. We got people coming out of the closet. Jesus said, go in the closet. He had a place and he had a purpose. What was his purpose? And there he prayed. Jesus practiced it, but not only did he practice it, he also preached it. Go to that next slide. He also preached it. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Look at the four devotions that Jesus gives us here. First of all, there's the devotion of a period, that you have to devote a period of time. He said, when you pray, not if you pray, or happenstance comes upon you and you pray. He said, when you pray, when, that's an indicator of time, that there has to be a time. There has to be a devotion of place. Enter into thy closet, a devotion of place. You know, where is your closet at? I don't think you're necessarily talking about a broom closet or a dish closet. What he's saying is wherever you can go and connect with God, the devotion of privacy, the devotion of privacy. Shut the door. Well, what does he mean when he says shut the door? He means don't be distracted. Don't allow anything to distract this time. Remove the distraction. And then we see the devotion of power. Pray, pray. Don't read about prayer. Don't study about prayer. Don't talk about prayer. But he says pray. So what do we learn from Isaiah? We learn that if we are going to have a quiet time that's worth being quiet for, that there has to be spiritual participation. What did James say? James said, draw close to God and he'll draw close to you. How do we draw close? We draw close by following the practice of Christ. We draw close by following the words of Christ. Isaiah, he drew close to God. In the year that King Uzziah died, he connected with God. Yeah. In the year that King Uzziah died, he connected with God. And for us, we draw close. Unless we participate with God, we're not going to meet with him. Look in Amos, the book of Amos, chapter 3. Some of you may have to lick your fingers and unstick those pages there. Those of you who have electronic devices, you don't have to do that. You can just find Amos and go right there. All right, Amos, chapter 3. In verse 3, Amos says here, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two people meet? You know, sometimes my wife, you know, she gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning and goes walking. And sometimes I'll go with her and, you know, we'll get to the track and we'll see about 4 or 5 cars drive up. And people get out of their cars. And then all of a sudden, it's like 4 people walking in a group. There's 3 people walking in another group, just walking around the track, talking. How did they get there? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Somewhere along the line, they said, hey, we're going to be here at this time and this place. Let's come together. Let's do it. Now, whether they do that every day or that's just understood that every day they're coming around the same time to the same place. Amos says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can God and the worshiper walk together unless there be an appointment? Sometimes we have those impromptu times, right? We have those impromptu times where, you know, we spontaneously might wake up in the middle of the night and spend time with God. Sometimes we may have that extra moment where we are able to steal away and get some time with God. But those moments are rather infrequent. The times that we can count on are the times that we have designated, the times that we have dedicated, the times that we have set aside and said.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of A Quiet Time That Makes It Worth Being Quiet. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, A Quiet Time That Makes It Worth Being Quiet, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Quiet Time That Makes It Worth Being Quiet. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Quiet Time That Makes It Worth Being Quiet. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.